Could be that you are here and you wanted to be a mother, but you could not be a mother. And it may be a tough time for you, but I want you to know God's got a word for you today. There's some of you today that you didn't have the proper mother figure maybe growing up as a child. Well, God's got a word for you today as well. And then again, there's others of us that are here today that your mom is with the Lord in heaven. God's got a word for you today as well. And not only that, but maybe there's some moms here that just feel discouraged or down. And I want you to know God can encourage you today. And I believe he will through his word. You know what? I love when little children talk about their moms. And last week I ran across a quote of some of the little children on Mother's Day. How many remember when you were just a young child, Mother's Day meant a lot to you, writing that card to Mama? How many remember those days? Anyway, this one little girl named Ellen, 8 years old, said to her mom, she said, "Mom, happy Mother's Day." She said, I hope you have a great day today. And she said, "Mom, I want to make a special meal for you today. Today's Mother's Day. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn." And then there's a little boy named Robert. He wrote his mother a note and he said, "Mom, I got you a special gift for Mother's Day. I hope you like it." He said, "It's a turtle." He said, "Maybe you like it better than you did the snake last year." And then there was a little girl that wrote her mom, said, "Mom, I sure wish Mother's Day wasn't on Sunday. That way Monday we wouldn't have to go to school." I guess she wouldn't mind it too much being in Jasper County, because Jasper County's out of school now. But anyway, I heard about another a little girl that said to her mom, said, "Mom, happy Mother's Day." Said, "I'm going to give you a box of candy for Mother's Day." She said, "It sure is good. I've already had 3 pieces. I heard about another little girl that wrote her mom a note and said, "Mom, happy Mother's Day. Here is 2 aspirins. Amen. For Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day." One little girl wrote her mom and said, "Mom," she said, "I got you some flowers for Mother's Day." She said, "I got them when Mr. Wilson wasn't looking. I cut them and they're yours. And I hope you have a good Mother's Day." But you know that old saying, when daddy ain't happy, nobody cares. But when mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. How many know what I'm talking about? When mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. One mother said this, "The joy of motherhood is putting your children to bed." Can I get an amen right over here? Yeah, when you got little children, you know the joy of motherhood is finally getting your children in bed. And one mother said it this way. She said that when she was first married, she had 3 theories for raising children. And she said now she has 3 children and no theories. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Once you have the children, you realize you got all the answers before you have children. Then once you have the children, it's like you throw the answers out the window. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, having said that, I believe God's got a wonderful word for us today through his wonderful word. And speaking of moms, John, your mom's 96, isn't she? I was sitting there thinking, isn't your mom 96? You got to sit there and calculate. What year was she born? Do you remember? 1920? 90. Oh, I was thinking she was 96. Anyway, time flies, doesn't it? It really does. Time flies. And here's the message God's got on my heart to share with you today. It doesn't matter if you're a mother here or a father here or a dad or a teenager here. I believe the message is still relevant for every single person. And here's the title of the message. If you're one of those that like to take notes, here's the title of the message. And it's this: Right Moves for Mamas in a Wrong World. Right, R-I-G-H-T, Right Moves, M-O-V-E-S. Right Moves for Mamas. You might want to say it this way: Right Moves for Mamas in a Crazy Mixed Up World. Right Moves. You say, "Brother Pastor, what do you mean Right Moves?" Let me ask you a question. How many have ever played checkers? Let me see your hand. How many have ever played chess? Let me see your hand. Well, you know what? When you play checkers or when you play chess, you know very well when you play checkers or chess, whatever you're playing, you make a move and then you say, "It's your move. It's time for you to move." Isn't that what you do? After you make your move, you wait for the other person to make their move. Can I tell you something? Life is like a checkerboard in many regards. Life is like a checkerboard. God has made his move, and now he's waiting for you to make your move. Today, God's saying, I've made my move, now I'm waiting for you to make your move. Are you going to make your move today? Are you going to move at all today? The right move for mamas in a crazy and a mixed up world. And here's where we're going. The Lord put on my heart three moves that will make a difference in your life. Three moves that you need to make today that'll make a difference. That we're going to see in the Word of God today. Three moves. God's made his move. He said, I love you. He said, I died for you. I rose again. I'm coming again. He said, I promised I wouldn't leave you. God's made already his move. God said, I've given you provisions. I've given you my life. I've given you my joy. I've given you my peace. I've given you the Holy Spirit of God. I've given you my word. God's made his move, and he's waiting on you today to make your move. Are you going to move today? Are you going to sit still? I'll tell you what. If your mom's here, you ought to love on her some today. If your mom's here, even if she's not here, you still ought to tell her you love her. You ought to go home if you hadn't already called her and tell her you love her and you thank God for her. Maybe your daddy's here. Maybe somebody's here that's like a mama to you. Through these years, you've looked up to them. They've had a mother influence in your life. All of us could say that God sure has been good to us through other people. Are you going to make a move today? God's made his move. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, and if you would, stand together if you'd like to read God's word together. And you don't have to, obviously, if you have some kind of providential hindrance in standing, or if you just want to sit down, that's fine, but we do sit for a while. In Matthew chapter 20, we began reading in verse 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. If you're there, would you say amen? And then came to him the mother. Are you there? All right. Then came to him, meaning Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children. Now, why in the world does it say, yeah, if you don't mind, turn me down a little bit there, Joy. I believe I'm a little bit too loud there. Thank you. Appreciate you doing that. Verse 20 again. Then came to him, Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children. Notice that. Why in the world would Matthew say Zebedee's children? The mother of Zebedee's children. The mother of Zebedee's children. He didn't say the name of her. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, which with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of, and to be able to baptize of the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the word of God. And verse 20 again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what will thou? Father, now we bless you now for the special time we have together to give and listening ear. Lord, thank you for this consecrated, dedicated time whereby we can wait on you, listen to you, be ministered by your Spirit. Oh God, you know that I am, and I believe there's many here today that are wanting a word from you to lift us up, to encourage us,
to motivate us, to give us direction, to change us, to correct us, to discipline us, to, Lord, make us more like you. And we bless you for the time of praise and worship. We thank you for every single mama that's here, every daddy that's here, every young person that's here. God, all that are here, we just ask you now to move on our hearts. And Father, give us grace. You've made your move, Father. You showed me this week you made your move. Now you're waiting for us to make our move. Help us to move, Father. Those weights, those chains, those hindrances, God, that keep us from moving closer to you and falling in love with you more and dedicating our life to you and letting you have your way with us, Father. Every way the devil has tried to kill, steal, and destroy and mar us and scar us and pull us away from you, I pray, Lord, there'll be breakthroughs today for your glory. Thank you. Now again, we ask God our Father to open our eyes and our hearts and change us from glory to glory. Those that are here that have not really tasted your grace, just going through the motions, I pray, Father, today will indeed be the day of salvation. And those of us that are, our God, lead us on from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Help us to keep looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, until one day we're going to see you face to face. And we're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, cleanse my heart. Fill us with Holy Ghost power. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And amen, you may be seated. God's made his move. Are you going to make yours? God's made his move. Are you going to make yours? Do you notice the text? Here's where we're going in the message. Three moves that you need to make today. I'm convinced that God wants you to move. And some of us aren't moving. Some of us are stagnant. Some of us are bogged down. Some of us are, for some reason or another, we're not listening to God, or maybe we're tired or whatever it might be. Three moves. Here they are. Number one, the first move is, where do you go when you don't know where to go? That's the first move that you can make. That's found in verse 20. Where do you go when you don't know where to go? And then number two, who do you talk with when you don't know who to talk with? And then number three, what do you ask when you don't know what to ask? Number one, where do you go when you don't know where to go? Number two, who do you talk with when you don't know who to talk to? Number three, and what do you ask when you don't know what to ask? Number one, where do you go when you don't know where to go? Did you see the text again? Look at it. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20 as well. In Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Why in the world would Matthew say the mother of Zebedee? Why wouldn't he call her by name? Who is this woman? Where is she from? Why is she coming to Jesus? What does she want with him? Well, if you notice, there are two parts to what I want to share with you. Where do we go when we don't know where to go? Two parts. Here they are. Number one, this woman's name is Salome. How do I know that? Because I look in other parts of the Bible. For example, I look in Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. I look in Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And I find out this woman's name. She was the mother of James and John, Salome. Let's say that name together. Salome. Say it again. Salome. And so Matthew's account says, here comes a woman, the father of Zebedee's children, and she brings her two sons, namely James and John. And so I want for a minute to introduce you to this woman named Salome. I want to tell you a little bit about her that we get from the scripture. Where do you go when you don't know where to go? Well, I'll tell you, she didn't know where to go, but she did really know where to go. It's your move. Are you going to make it? Are you going to go to Jesus today? Watch this. Salome. We know who she was because she followed the Lord when he was hanging on the cross. There she is in the scene. And the Mark's gospel declares, there she followed Jesus all the way. Not only that, but on the resurrection morning, early in the morning, she went to the tomb. And thank God it was empty. I'm glad our Lord is risen, aren't you? I'm glad that we don't serve a dead God. In fact, if your God is dead, you've got the wrong God. Because the God of the Bible is alive. Jesus rose from the grave. In case you didn't know, or in case this week you've been walking around like you didn't know our Lord was risen from the dead, and maybe some worries and cares and troubles and financial difficulties have been overshadowing you and just about ready to carry you under, I came to tell you today, Jesus is alive. He's still alive. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. He's got power in his hands. He gives us that resurrection power, hallelujah, to face anything in this life. I'm telling you, thank God, God said, in him we are more than conquerors. Glory be to his name. Hallelujah. I think I'll preach to myself today. But wait a minute. Because Salome not only followed the Lord in his crucifixion, following him, seeing him from a distance, but she also was there at the tomb. Now, there are many Bible scholars that tell us that Salome was maybe the sister of Joseph. That would make her the, you get it, don't you? The aunt of Jesus. You get that? I don't know, but I'm telling you this. Here's a mama that needed some answers. Where do you go when you need some answers? Now, I think in my sanctified imagination, let me carry you back to what we know about this woman that brought these two boys to Jesus. I'm telling you, wise mamas will bring their children to Jesus. That's a good place to say amen right there. Wise daddies will bring their children to Jesus. And I can almost see Salome in the beginning. Jesus shows up, and we find in Matthew chapter 4 that he calls his disciples, namely Peter and Andrew. But then, that's in verse 19 of chapter 4. But then we find, watch this. Then we find a little bit further from Matthew chapter 4, in verse 20 through 22, we find out Jesus is walking by, guess where? Guess whose boat? Guess who's washing out their fishing nets? It's James and John. There's James and John. I can see them with my mind's eye. They're cleaning out the nets of their father Zebedee. Evidently, their father Zebedee was a professional fisherman. Can you see him in their mind's eye? What are they doing? They're helping Dad. Why, they've been fishing. Why, that's what they've done all their life. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. I'm glad that Jesus shows up to call us to follow him. He's calling you right now. He's calling you to leave some of those friends you've been hanging around. He's calling you right now to serve him and honor him. He's calling you to say, hey, Vacation Bible School's coming up. Don't make a bunch of lame, blame excuses about not having time. He's talking about Sunday school and church and witnessing. He's calling you to go across the road and talk with your neighbor about him. He's calling us to a life of holiness. Amen. He's calling us to a life of holiness. Turn off that television. There's some stuff on the computer you know you shouldn't be watching. There's some of that ungodly, wicked stuff that's not proper and you know that it's not wholesome and helpful in your life. He's calling us to break free from the world and the flesh and the devil. He's calling us to have a heart for him. He's calling us to hunger and thirst for him. He's calling us to cry out to him for revival. He's calling us to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He's calling us to be priests in our home. He's calling us to be soldiers of the cross. He's calling us to go out in this world like salt and light. He's calling us to love him with all of our heart. He's calling us, and he is worthy to follow. Amen and amen, and glory be to his name. Are you following him? No. You're not, are you? Oh, he says to John and to James, he says, follow me. I didn't say follow the world. I didn't say follow sports stars. He didn't say follow politicians. He didn't say follow your friends. He said, follow me. Guess what James and John did? Imagine that. They had fished all their life. What did they do? They followed Jesus. Same thing you ought to do. Same thing I ought to do. They followed Jesus. Now, wait a minute. It's hard for us to get this in our mind. Here's Jewish, father and mother with their children. They're dedicated to their business, man. This is their livelihood. This is where they make their money. This is how they pay their bills. This is how they exist. And all of a sudden, this man of Nazareth, this Messiah, shows up and says, come on, follow me. And James and John goes. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but I imagine in my sanctified imagination, I imagine all of a sudden when Zebedee's wife, Salome, and Zebedee comes home, do you know what I can imagine? I imagine old Zebedee probably came home. The Bible doesn't say, but I imagine in my sanctified imagination, Zebedee probably came home that day after John and James had followed Jesus. And you know what Zebedee said? Zebedee might have said something like this. Zebedee said, hey, guess what's going on, man? He said, what's going on? And he comes to the door, and I can see Salome as she gets to the door. I can see her as she gets to the door. And she says, now Zebedee, you left this morning, and James and John were with you. Where are our two boys? Where are James and John? And so Zebedee says to his wife, Salome, honey, you know where James and John are at? They're with Jesus. I want to tell you, he didn't know how maybe she was going to react. Now, this isn't in the Bible. This is my sanctified imagination, okay? Hang with me just for a moment. And so he comes to home, and what would you say to your mama? What would you say to mama if you came home without those children? Mama wouldn't be happy, I don't think. And so you come home without those boys, those girls, Bubba, and when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. When daddy ain't happy, nobody cares, right? But when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Bubba, you come home without them two girls, buddy, and you in trouble. Come on, somebody talk to me. And here's Zebedee. He comes home with those children. He don't have them with him. Salome says, now, wait a minute. I know we had those two boys. Where are those boys at? Can you hear old Zebedee? I can hear him right now say, but let me tell you what happened. Shh. Calm down, honey, calm down. He said, let me tell you what happened. There was a man named Jesus. You know that man we've been reading about over there in the Bible? Where does it say that in the Old Testament? Isaiah 53, you remember? Zebedee says to his wife, you know, we've been reading our devotion every morning. We do our devotion every morning, don't we? You know, we've been reading about that Messiah, the coming Messiah. We've been talking about that Savior of the world. Guess what, honey? He showed up. And that's where our boys are at. Hey, watch this. The Bible doesn't say, but I can almost imagine in my sanctified imagination. What did Zebedee's wife do? What would you do, Amy? Justin comes home and Mason's not there. Riley's not there. Where are our children? Well, you know what? I don't know, but I imagine Salome probably did this. When Zebedee showed up without them two boys, Salome probably said, hallelujah! Come on, mamas. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Here's why she said that. She probably said that because she said, thank God they're following Jesus. I want my boys to follow Jesus, Todd. Ken, I want my boys to follow Jesus, Charles. Hey, listen. William, I want my boys. I want my family, Ralph, to follow Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Brad, I want my children to serve God, Jim. I want my children to be sold out to God. That's what I want. Salome probably had a shouting spell. If you don't shout, at least you ought to believe in it. Go home and do it if you're afraid what somebody might think of you, amen. Just go ahead and do it at home and lock yourself in your closet or in your little prayer closet and just go ahead and start shouting and praising God. He's worthy of it. And you say, well, I don't get emotional. I don't believe that one bit. You bag that big trophy deer. You kill that old gobbler. You hit a home run. You run a touchdown. Your favorite team wins. And you'll jump up and shout. Oh, don't give me that baloney. You say, but I'm dignified. I don't do that. I call it rigor mortis. Amen. Somebody said, many are called and few are chosen. Many are cold and a few are frozen. That's about the size of it. Somebody said, you could skate down the average church these days. It's so cold and indifferent. Somebody said, you walk out the front door and pour chocolate on the average Christian's head and they'll turn into an Eskimo pie. God help us. We get excited about everything else. But old Salome says, hallelujah, my children are following Jesus. Now hang with me, okay? Where's Jesus calling you? Where do we go when we don't know where to go? And so all of a sudden, Jesus is calling us. He's saying, you, come, follow me. What is he calling you to do today? Where do I go when I don't know where to go? Are there some mamas here and daddies here? Are there some children here today? I heard about one little boy that came to his mama. Now, you mamas can relate to this. One little boy came to his mama. He said, Mama, I've got a bill for you, $14. She said, what? How would you like for your son to come to you and say, Mama, you owe me $14? You wouldn't like it too much, would you, Helen? You'd say, Wait a minute. And he said this, Betty. He said, I'll tell you what, you owe me $14. He said, she says, what, Kathy? What do you mean, Joyce? What do you mean, Sister Angel? What do you mean, owe you $14? Mary, what are you talking about, Betty? Diane, what you talking about? $14. And the little boy says something like this. Judy says, well, I cut the grass, that's $5. I clean up my room, that's $5 more. That's $10. I cleaned up the garage, that's $2. That's $12. And I went to the store for $2. That's $14. You owe me $14, Mama. Mama got that note and said, wait a minute, $14? She looked at that little boy and said, son, I carried you in my belly for 9 months. Now, how many know that my mama used to tell me, I brought you in this world and I can take you out. Come on. I can take you out real quick. But wait a minute. That mama says, I carried you in my belly for 9 months. No charge. I sat up with you and wiped those tears and wiped something else too. Can I get an amen? And wiped those tears and wiped, you know, for all these years. And not only that, but when you were sick, your belly hurt at night, guess who stayed up with you? It wasn't Daddy. Daddy was asleep snoring. Can I get an amen? It wasn't Daddy that stayed up. Mama got up. Mama can hear a pin drop. Mama's in the room and there's just a heartbeat. Why, she knows if there's a whimper. She knows what's going on. It was Mama, Brother Jim. I can't take the credit. It was Mama that got up, Ronnie. It was Mama that got up. And I can hear him say now, that Mama says, not only that, but son, I want you to know, all those toys you got for Christmas, all them gifts you've got, and everything you got, guess who gave it? Mama gave it to you. Daddy gave it to you. Mama, no charge, no charge, no charge at all. By that time, that little boy looked at that mama with tears in his eyes and said, Mama, I'm sorry. Paid in full. You don't owe me anything, Mama. Follow. Where can we go when we don't know where to go? Michelle, where can we go? Melissa, when we don't know where to go? Nancy, I'll tell you, Joy, where we go when we don't know where to go? It's go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Will you do it? Kathy, will you go to it? Number two, there's a second move that God's saying, I've made my move. Now it's your move. It's your move. Not only where do we go, but I see in this account, who do I talk with when I don't know who to talk with? Look at the text again, Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20. Look what he said. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. What was her name? Good, good. What was her name? All right. And then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, James and John, and worshiping. By the way, they were in the inner circle. They had God. Wait a minute. I know there's ways to read this text, and I know that for a long time I looked at this ambitious mother or these ambitious sons. Wait a minute, just stop right there for a moment. Because do you know in the Gospel of Mark, Mark's account says that guess who came to Jesus? It wasn't Mama, but it was James and John that came to Jesus. Mark says that. But Matthew says it was Mama that came to Jesus. I don't know about all that. All I know is this. Where do you go when you don't know where to go? You go to Jesus. And number two, who do you talk with when you don't know who to talk with? Look at this, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what will thou? And she said unto him, grant that these two sons of them may sit, the one on the right hand and the one on the left, in thy kingdom. Well, wait a minute. Who do you talk with when you don't know who to talk with? I'm glad to tell you today, listen to me, there's some mamas in the house of God today. Be honest now. Be honest. Will you be honest? Will you be honest? Will you really be honest? There's some mamas today in church. You've got some things on your mind, don't you? Yeah, you do. You do. You know you do, mamas. You got some things on your mind. You got some things on your heart. There's some things you can't change about those children. There's some concerns about the future. Can I get an amen? There's some concerns about the future. Mamas, you know that there's some maybe some anxiety weighing on you today, and you need somebody to talk with. Somebody that's got some answers. Somebody's got some wisdom. Somebody that can hold the keys to death and hell. Somebody who knows your very need and knows the hairs on our head. Somebody when one little bird can fall to the earth and he knows about it. Somebody who's got all power in his hands. Somebody who's not dead but is risen. I'm telling you, listen, mamas, there's some things that we need to go and talk to Jesus about. He's the only one that can help you, mama. That neighbor down the road can't help you. That loved one you called on the phone, she can't. They're limited. They can only tell you so much, Sandy. They can't tell you everything you want to know. There's some stuff, Mary, that and Ruth, there's some stuff there's some stuff that only Jesus can tell you. Come on in, Becky. Glad to have you. Amen. Speaking of mamas. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who do I go talk with when I don't know who to talk with? Why, there's some things right now today that God will show you if you ask Him. I can't hear you. I said there's some things right now that you've been worried about and stressed all about. And you're trying to carry that weight by yourself. You can't carry it by yourself. Who do you go to talk with when you don't know who to talk with? I'm glad to tell you, praise God, we can talk to Jesus anytime. Isn't that good news? Anytime when you're going through good times, when you're going through bad times, when you're on the mountain, when you're in the valley, when you need strength from above, when things are going wrong, when the bottom falls out, when you don't have all the answers, when you feel stressed to the max, when you feel worried and troubled, we can go to Jesus, praise God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm glad that He tells us, Becky, to come to Him. Debbie, I'm glad, thank God. He says, Lisa, come to Him because He's got the answers. He cares for us. He knows us. And praise God, He's got our best interests in mind. Glory, glory, glory. I don't know anybody else like Jesus. I don't know anybody else like Jesus. Who do you go to talk with when you don't know who to talk with? You go to talk with Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Who in the world can imagine what went on last week in Cleveland, Ohio? These ladies, three, chained, what we're told, and put ropes on, used, abused, and no telling what. One has a little girl, 6 years old. Can you imagine? No, you can't. Can you imagine? No, you can't. What went through their mind day after day after day, being treated like an animal, tied up, chained up? And what about that little girl? Never knew anything else but to be treated like an animal in a cage. Where in the world could these three ladies go at a time like that? By the way, listen to me. You say that never happened to me. Be careful what you say. We pray, God, it won't ever happen. But if it did, who would you go to when you don't know where to go? Who would you talk with? I'm convinced with all, I don't know if these ladies were saved or not. I've not heard anything. I've not read a whole lot about it other than the tragedy of it. But I believe that there's got to be some kind of testimony somewhere. How do you go through such an ordeal? How do you get through such a tough time? The only way I know to go through that is to talk to Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus. Come on, He's calling you today. He's saying, I made my move. Now it's your time to make your move. It's time for you to move. What are you going to do? There's a third move that God's wanting you to make and me to make today, and it's this. Not only where do you go when you don't know where to go, and what, who do you talk with when you don't know who to talk with? Thirdly, what do you ask when you don't know what to ask? Look at the text again, all right? Matthew 20, verse 20. What do you ask when you don't know what to ask? Look at this, Matthew 20, 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. What's the next word? Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. You see that? Desiring a certain thing from him. I tell you, that mama said, I've got to get to Jesus. I know that he's got the answers. I know he can tell me what nobody else can tell me. How many believe that Jesus can show you? Wait a minute. I'm gonna carefully phrase these words. How many believe that Jesus is so great, so mighty, so awesome, as we say, that he can show you what's going to happen before it ever happens? Ah, I need a friend like that. I need somebody to help me when I don't know where to go, when I don't know what to do. I need somebody that can see down the road. I need somebody that knows. And thank God he's got our front side, but he's got our backside too. I think I'll preach right there for a while. I said he's got our rear guard too. I said he's a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I said thank God for Jesus, because, watch this, Brad, it's been grace that's brought me safe thus far. And I'm convinced, Todd, it's grace, Kim, that's going to take me home. You believe that? It's grace, man. It's grace. Oh, yes, it is. So what do you ask when you don't know what to ask? Can I suggest today, he's made his move. He's waiting for you to make your move. Do you know what he wants you to do? Do you know what he wants you to do? I'll tell you what he wants you to do. I'm convinced as I'm standing here. First, he wants us to worship him. You believe that? I said he wants us to worship him. Have you really worshiped him today? Have you just given God lip service today? Is today just an ordinary Sunday? Hey, is your mind really focused on worshiping the living God? The Bible tells us there, Matthew says, Salome, when she came to Jesus, she didn't tell him all of her grocery list first. She worshiped him. Y'all see that? Mamas, have you worshiped the Lord today? Have you been at his feet today? Now, the Bible doesn't say, Joy, that mama fell on her knees, but I got a feeling in my own heart, how in the world did she worship him? It says she worshiped him. So how'd she do it? Wait. Whoa. How are you worshiping the Lord these days? Are you taking time to let your heart go out to the one that loves you and died for you? Are you spending time loving Jesus? That's what he wants you to do. He's made his move. Now he's waiting for you. Will you love on Jesus today? What he's calling you to do. She worshiped him. And then the word is proskuno, which means a position or posture of humility, like my little old dog, Red. I hadn't talked about Red in a while. How many know who Red is? I tell you, that little old dog, Deanna wants to get rid of it. She barks, but wait a minute, that little old dog, I'll go outside. I said, come here, Red. Come here. That little dog would put that little tail, the little tail's about that long. She'll put that little tail like that, and then she'll just crouch down and stick out that tongue and lick her master's hand. Woo! Can I tell you something? What a beautiful picture of worship. Oh, God wants us to bow down to him. Bow down! When's the last time you bowed down? When is the last time you got on your face before God? Worship. attributing word to the one who's to be worshipped. Now, I want to close on this. What do you ask when you don't know what to ask? I believe that mama, Salome, said this to Jesus. And every mama here, y'all hear me now, we need to get a hold of God today. That mama said, is there any mamas here that would say, and regardless of what you think of Salome, about saying, hey, I want my son sent a right hand or left hand. I know that's ambitious. I know it's very prideful, and we look at it that way. But on the other hand, I thank God for a mama who's so concerned about her children. She wants to get them as close to Jesus as she can. That's the implication here. Get them as close. And that mama says, Jesus, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm putting words in her mouth, okay? This is my personal opinion, paraphrase. Jesus, I don't know how they're going to turn out. I know they're dedicated to you, but Jesus, I want to bring my boys to you. I want to put them at your feet. I want to dedicate them to you. Jesus, I want them to serve you in your kingdom. Don't you think that's a worthy request of every mother? Will you do it today and say, Jesus, I want my children serve you and honor you. And Joyce, you got a great grandbaby, or is it a great great? Great great bam. Wait a minute, let me get it right. Not one great, but two great. Boy, that's a great baby, amen. Great great grandbaby. Let's praise God for that. Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Great great grandbaby. I know Joseph's heart. I know you mamas. Mamas, look at me. Mamas, look at me. Mamas, look at me. Your heart is for your children to serve God. Amen. That's what your heartbeat's all about. That's what Salome came and said, Jesus, I want my boys to make a difference. I want my children to serve you in your kingdom. I stood at a graveside yesterday of a lady, 67 years old. This lady wrote me a note 4 years ago, 2012. For some reason or another, the Lord put it in my heart to save this note. I've got notes and galore and things and paperwork piled up. And for some reason or another, the Lord impressed me to save this note. And I want to read it to you today, what she wrote me. You'll be blessed. Here's a mama. She said, Dear Pastor Randy and the members of the wonderful church. She's talking about New Rocky Creek. She said, thank you for remembering me in your prayers. Thank you for remembering me in your prayers. I can feel them deep in my heart. I know the Lord watches over me. He's always has. And even when I was bad, he watched over me. How many agree with that? Then she said, I quit drinking. I used to love beer, but now it stinks. I like that terminology. Now it stinks. I looked at the last can I opened about 6 months ago, and I got disgusted with myself. I poured it out and said, Lord, I promise you I will never touch another drop. She said it was easy. I don't want it. Whether I feel bad or good, I just said, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, God, for another day. I feel like I've got an angel walking with me, and when I'm hurting, I say it's okay. It won't last forever. Just won't last forever. Jesus is my doctor these days. He's the only one who knows what he's doing. The rest are just trying to figure me out. I love the people. I repeat, I love the people at this church. God bless all of you, and thank you again, sincerely, Elaine Duby. Brittany and Chris's grandmother. I shared at the funeral yesterday, no doubt she was grateful to God. Who wouldn't be if your grandson went from a bomber to a believer? He threatened to blow up the school, if you're wondering. Read between the lips. 4 or 5 years ago, Chris was headed for no telling. God's made him a trophy of his grace. And there's a grandmother that's saying thank you. Now, I went to the hospital. I got the call about 3:30 on Tuesday afternoon. I arrived at the hospital. There, they had her in the emergency room, one of the side rooms in the emergency room up in Newton County Hospital. As I arrived there at the hospital, I made my way over to the room in which she was in. And as I stepped in the room, there was her husband sitting by her bedside, holding her hand. And as I walked in the room, I could see the paramedics. They were working on her vehemently. They were very concerned about her condition and trying to revive her, bring her back. She had stopped breathing several times. And I don't know if you've seen that or been around that situation, but it's a very eerie, may I say, a very stressful type of situation, to say the least. And as they were working on her, finally, they said, we can't do anymore. It's going to take a miracle. 67 years old. It's going to take a miracle to bring her back. Now, meanwhile, I'm sitting there, standing there. The grandchildren are coming in. She's got a breathing tube in her mouth. They're working on her. Finally, they said, this is all we can do. I'm watching a monitor right over here. And as they're working on her, they said, that's it. That's all we can do. She's running her course. She's fighting the good fight of faith. She's about to end her race. I'm looking over here at a monitor. And I watch the monitor. It goes, beep, 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 showing the heartbeat, beep. And then all of a sudden, it gets less and less, beep. And there's a line, beep, and there's a line, beep, and there's a line. And then all of a sudden, it, bon, no beat at all. She's gone. She's gone. She's gone. Have you been there? Have you been there? Do you know that moment, absent from the body, present with the Lord? She's gone here, but praise God. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. Listen to me, mamas. Listen to me, daddies. Listen to me, teenagers. Mama might not be there all the time. You better love mama while she's here. You better tell her you love her now. There may not be tomorrow. In heaven's balcony, the Word of God declares in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul said, I'm on a strait betwixt two. That is, I'm caught between a hard place and a rock. I really want to go to be with the Lord. How many are looking forward to go to be with the Lord? He said, I want to go to be with the Lord, but I want to stay here too. And I want you to know, just like when you're standing out on that seashore, how many have ever stood out on a seashore in the ocean and looked out at the vast ocean and saw a ship sailing out there in the ocean? And as you kept watching it, it got smaller and smaller and smaller until finally you could not even detect it with the naked eye. The ship was gone. You said, it's gone. I can't see it anymore. It may be gone, my brother, but it's not gone, because on the other side, that ship is going into a harbor. That ship is going to be welcomed into another harbor. So it is for a child of God. This side of eternity, we might not see our loved ones. We might say they're gone. But praise God, in heaven, one of these days, our Lord's going to say, come on home, child. It's time to come home. Welcome home. Your race is over. Your fight is finished. Come home and receive the joy of the Lord. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. I'm telling you this, we had better love each other now while there's time, because our God's coming one day, and one day we're going to cross over death's chilly waters. Tell your mama you love her. Tell that mama today, right now in the service. Hey mamas, hey grandparents, hey daddies, hey teenagers, God's made his move. Let's make ours, all right? Amen and amen and amen.